Hello, and welcome to The Storyteller's Mission with Zena Del Lowe, a podcast for artists and storytellers about changing the world for the better through story. Today, what I want to talk about are three aha moments that I have had, three truths that I've learned in passing from other professional writers, things that they've said or quotes that I've read that have made a world of difference to me in my own writing. And I want to share them with you in the hopes that these may also be helpful to you. So the first one I want to talk about today is the importance of being specific, or the importance of having actual details in the story, not vague or general information, but actually specific details. And there are two quotes that I have memorized to sort of remind me of this as I'm writing. And the first is by Anton Chekhov, who said, "Don't tell me the moon is shining. Show me the glint of light on broken glass." And I love that. And the other one that I love is by a guy named Richard Price, who said, "You don't write about the horrors of war. No, you write about a kid's burnt socks lying in the road." What a haunting image. I love this on many levels because it's actually speaking to visuals as well as show, don't tell, and that sort of thing. But for my purposes here, I'm using it to speak about the details of story. You have to go to the details. The details are actually what makes your story unique and special and actually universal. That's the irony. The more detailed you can be, the more applications it has. Now, what I also want to do is apply this to a very specific area of story, and that is mythology. Now, keep in mind, every story has a mythology. Every story has its own mythology. You're developing a story world for that story. You're developing a universe for that story. So you have a mythology in your story. And the problem is that when people are developing a mythology, a lot of times they do two things. One, they either dump truck the mythology, like say you're specifically trying to develop some sort of mythology related to science fiction or fantasy or that sort of thing. What happens is all of a sudden you'll get to a part in Act Two where you'll just become a dump truck of information. Blah, here is all of the mythology. Here's all the things that are related to that particular story point. And you don't want to do that. You don't want to do that. You want to slowly allow the story to unfold, the mythology to unfold. And number two, you want to make sure that it's specific. So in terms of mastering the craft, one of the most important things you can learn is how to have a slow exposure of mythology, to slowly but surely reveal those things that matter to that story world, especially in stories that are sci-fi or fantasy related. This revelation was also gleaned from reading dozens of manuscripts and hundreds of screenplays in the fantasy genre, where the stories start out really great and the writers have an action-oriented beginning that draws me into the story, and then somewhere in Act Two, they just start dumping out exposition and mythology. This is what separates those who get published from those who don't, I think. Simply put, it's hard to do this right. How do you reveal these things progressively in a way that allows the audience to absorb the mythology and helps them to understand what's going on without resorting to heavy-handed exposition to explain it all to the audience? You have to do it in increments, and it has to be done through action, and it has to be done through details. It has to be believable and justifiable, and it has to be done slowly and progressively, not all at once. I don't actually have an exact solution for how to do this. I only know that it has to be this way. This has to be the end result. I'm struggling to do this myself in my current fantasy novel that I'm writing and have been writing for like 6 years. But I do know that this is a consistent problem in a lot of the work I see from people who are trying to write in the fantasy or sci-fi realm. All of a sudden, it's a barrage of information. They reveal too much at once. They dump, but the mythology needs to reveal itself in stages. But then number two, it also has to be specific, because here's what happens. A lot of times people have a general idea of the fantasy that they're telling, but then they're very vague or nebulous about it. They haven't actually thought through all of the things. And then we have a problem because now there are contradictions in the story. Because wait a minute, here when you revealed the creature at this setting, he came out of the swamp and he was swimming around in there, but now he's coming out of the closet. But how does that work? And see, we're looking for a reason. Your audience wants it to make sense. And if it doesn't make sense, then we're going to have a problem with it. So you want to make sure that everything that you reveal, that you have thought through the details, that you understand what the reasons are behind each part that you're revealing, and that you're not leaving anything vague or undefined. Define it. Now, you don't have to have a 100-page treatise trying to explain something, but it has to make logical sense why it needs to be that particular way. You need to understand your own mythology. Okay. Another huge truth I learned came from a quote from David Lynch. And the quote is, if you want to make a feature film, you get ideas for 70 scenes. Put them on 3x5 cards. As soon as you have 70, you have a feature film. I don't have to write chronologically. Now, maybe this is not a big aha moment for you, but it was for me. I'm a very orderly writer. I want to write this scene because then that one follows and then that one follows. And if I can't do that, to me, that's what slows down my story because I'm trying to solve it chronologically. And this has resulted in a lot of paralysis. This has resulted in a lot of slow progression. Because if I couldn't get past one particular scene, I couldn't progress with the story. But I learned something from David Lynch. Now, until I encountered this quote, I had never actually thought of a feature film being about 70 scenes long. And I'd never counted how many scenes. It was always however many it needed, that sort of thing. But I think this is a pretty good rule of thumb. But the other major thing that was a takeaway for me is how he just casually said, put them on 3x5 cards, and as soon as you have 70, you have a feature film. And what that implied to me is, oh, I can just write the scenes as they come to me. I don't have to write them in order. Just write the scenes. Now, again, this might be silly to some of you, but for me, it was a huge deal. So again, before, when I would write, it had to be chronological. But now, when I have an idea for a scene that I know is going to be in the movie, I know that I can write it, even if it's out of order. I don't have to wait until I get there. I can write it at any time. And this has helped me if I've run into a scene that I'm procrastinating writing, simply because I know it's going to be extra hard for me. Okay, then instead of procrastinating, I go to a scene that's exciting me in the moment. Hey, I know this scene has to be there, but let me just go ahead and write this today. And that gets me going. It helps me keep up with my momentum. It helps me to not be stuck in telling a story. And again, this is still hard for me because I still like to be chronological, but it's also been freeing. I'm a literalist. I like order. I like things to happen in an orderly way. But sometimes writing out of chronological order has been the very thing that has allowed me to get to the end. So I encourage you to possibly look into doing that. It can jar something loose or reveal something to you in a different way, something maybe you hadn't thought about. It will help you keep up your momentum and it will help you not get stuck. Okay, so those were pretty huge. But the third one that was a huge aha moment for me came from Quentin Tarantino. And this actually came as a result of watching Inglourious Basterds. Now, I have since realized he is a master of revisionist history. But when I saw Inglourious Basterds, this was mind-boggling to me that he changed the way World War II ended. He simply just changed it. And what I learned is I didn't have to be confined by history. I learned that I could break rules, even something as big as what is historically accurate. Somehow or another, it was really freeing to me because all of a sudden, it had never occurred to me before that you could change history. It had just never occurred to me that you could write a movie and actually change history. And again, he has done this in multiple stories now. He's kind of a master at it. And I think the reason why it works, why you can change history, or at least the way he does it, is because we intrinsically believe that we have the power to change the world. And when we act in a morally acceptable or responsible way, we're doing good and therefore we're changing the world for the better. Whereas if we act in a morally irresponsible way, we're possibly changing or impacting the world for the worse. It's a powerful mental exercise to consider the amount of influence that we have on the world around us. And I think that what Quentin Tarantino is doing is playing with that. And in changing history, he's actually impacting our world today. He's changing how we feel about things. For example, in Django Unchained, he basically applied a similar history as wish fulfillment technique to the story so that he has a freed slave wreaking vengeance on a southern plantation. And that works for our sensibilities today. It actually helps magnify our human spirit today, right? It actually feeds us today. So it's working in terms of the influence and how it impacts us today. And he does this when he has the wish fulfillment in the same sort of liberation style in Inglourious Basterds, where we get to see Hitler machine gunned to death on screen. It's wonderful. And then he does something similar in Once About a Time in Hollywood, where he makes the Manson killers, he turns them into the ones that are getting a gory death because of these two people that didn't actually exist historically who disrupt what they're planning on doing. So even though it changes history, it does it for our benefit, the benefit of today's world. There was something about that that was very, very powerful to me because one of my taglines is to change the world for the better through story. And so realizing that I could break the rules, even something as big as history, established history, for the purpose of accomplishing that in story has been a very exciting phenomenon. Now, I don't know exactly how I'm applying it or when I'm going to apply it, but it has still been freeing to me and it was a huge aha moment. So I hope that these three aha moments are helpful to you as well. And if they are, would you please consider sharing this episode? Now, before I sign off today, I want to let you know that we will be going on a hiatus soon here at the Storyteller's Mission. The podcast will be taking 2 months off so that we can work on some other things that we have going that will hopefully be of service to you in your writing journey. In the meantime, if you're interested in continuing to get tips, then I would encourage you to follow us on social media. We have a new social media manager and she is just killing it. She's pulling out the best quotes possible from former podcasts and quotes from famous authors that are so, so meaty. It's like a meal in and of itself. They are wonderful. And I would encourage you to follow us on Instagram, Facebook, or Twitter. I've included the links below. So follow us on one of our social media platforms and you will be well served. Thank you for listening to The Storyteller's Mission with Zena Del Lowe. May you go forth inspired to change the world for the better through story.